Hi, it's William B. Davis. I play the smoking man on the X-Files, and you're listening to the X-Cast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm Tony Black, your host, and we are on now day 4 of our Season 10 coverage. Celebrating the brand new miniseries. We're still talking about My Struggle, the season premiere. And once again, I am joined by my co-host, Tanya Hernandez.
Hello, Tony. Thank you again for having me on.
It's my pleasure. And especially today, when we are talking about two very exciting characters we're having a focus on. But first, we're going to get into a little bit of feedback from people on Twitter. We have some feedback from... Now, I hope I'm going to say this name right. I apologize if I don't. Priyangana Laha at Rebel With Any on Twitter. And she says she preferred Founder's Mutation, which we'll be talking about soon, to My Struggle. But she has a good feeling on both. She said she wishes Scully spoke in her previous voice, though, instead of this low tone. which again goes back to what we talked about recently about Gillian Anderson's slightly different, you know, I think it's age.
I think it's her. Like I said, she's been on the stage in England. Mm. She's been on BBC, which I excuse my ignorant American self, but I always found like, you know, those kind of productions are so much more, have more gravitas than we normally have here in American productions. So like when you like hear, oh, she was on a BBC show and then she's doing like these classic, you know, shows like War and Peace.
Yeah,
and,
she's just done,
you know, base. She just, it just brings out a different performance.
Yeah.
Over the years, and that she's been doing it for several years too, that, you know, watching her back then, and even she says like, my voice was kind of squeaky back then because she was so young.
Yeah.
I think that's just going to bleed into her performance of Scully. Mm. But I think it works because, as we mentioned before when we were talking about Scully, she's been through a lot and yeah. It's been years since she's had to deal with working in the FBI. Mm-hmm. So she's living a more routine life as a doctor in a hospital and engaging in different patients that are sick and stuff. She's not dealing with these crazy people, you know, dealing with paranormal or monsters or, you know, these different types of like people that she used to investigate and interrogate and stuff like that. So it's more of a normal routine type of stuff. So I guess her voice is more subtle. I guess it's not what it was because it's Scully, like, you know, she's living a more quote unquote normal life for all these years, but now she's going to get back into it. And I would imagine as we see more episodes, you're going to see a little bit more of the old Scully pop in there, you know.
I think so.
But I think a part of it, like I said, is just Gillian's acting over the years.
Because
of that, I think it fits with where the character is.
Yeah, me too. She's been based in England a lot. She's aged. Scully's aged. But I see the point. I see the point. And I hope, Priyangana, you continue to enjoy it and you adjust to Scully a bit more. But yeah, thanks to anyone who's got back to us. Keep sending in what you think about the episodes, whether it's My Struggle or Founder's Mutation or the future episodes that are coming. As we're recording this, we've only had the first two. So just keep letting us know what you think. That'd be great. But today, we're talking about two classic characters. Last time we had two new characters. Today, we're talking about Walter Skinner and the cigarette smoking man.
Yeah. Now wait, let me ask you a question.
Go on then. Oh, exciting.
I did see the episode in October and I couldn't tell you anything. What was your reaction when you saw him at the end of the episode?
Well,
My Struggle.
Well, I have to say, and this is perhaps possibly my only one criticism of My Struggle and the marketing. If I hadn't known that he was coming back, it would have been the biggest jaw dropper of my entire life. But unfortunately, they included William B. Davis in the press. They said, oh, Smoking Man's coming back as well. And I see why they did that, because it was about you know, people building up excitement. Oh my God, the Smoking Man, how is he back? Because, you know, quite understandably and quite rightly, the X-Files isn't the X-Files without him, right?
Right, right.
So I completely understand the decision to bring him back, and I'm well up for that, and I love it. But I wish I didn't know, because I would have just gone, and what actually happened was I went, ooh, but I knew that scene was coming. I was almost certain they were going to end my struggle with seeing the Smoking Man. So on the one hand, I was really happy and excited. On the other hand, I was like, wish I didn't know.
I could see why, like, if they didn't include him at all, if they didn't even mention that William B. Davis was on set and they would have shown that at Comic-Con, I think everybody would have lost their shit.
I know.
As it was, like, everybody was really excited at the end when they saw him.
Oh, yeah.
In the state that he was. Because I don't think everybody really knew, like, in what state he was going to be in, or if it was going to be a flashback or stuff like that. But if they had kept it a secret, just like, you know, the way, like, Star Wars kept a secret about certain characters, if they would have just kept it a secret and then just shown that at the end, I definitely think it would have had a bigger impact.
I think so.
Sure.
Because, because I don't know, because they kept secret William B. Davis's name from the credits.
Until the end. Right at the end, you see guest starring William B. Davis.
Which suggests, obviously, an intent to keep that scene secret. But at the same time, they include Smoking Man in the press. And, you know, I have to wonder, and there's no evidence to suggest this, but I do wonder if that wasn't Chris Carter's decision, that he was overruled by Fox. And he originally said, we have to keep this a secret. And they went, no, well, we need him in the promotion.
I know when they first started filming, there was no mention of William B. Davis. People kept asking, but there was no mention of him. And then at some point, all of a sudden they mentioned, oh yeah, he's going to be on set. So I feel like maybe Chris originally did not want to have him mentioned at all. But it could have been, I could see Fox saying, no, you know, like, let's just give us this one thing, like, to give up. Because the way Chris used to be so secretive, you know, especially knowing how he did the first movie, it was on red paper and you couldn't photocopy anything and stuff like that.
Calling it Blackwood.
Giving it a code name and stuff like that. I could see Chris not wanting to reveal that Smoking Man was going to be back. And I think even if you look at some of the articles prior where they interviewed him and they mentioned, you know, before they started filming, he's like, oh, you know, I don't know. He never really said anything about it. So I could imagine that maybe Fox was like, you know, come on, give us, like, let's show him. Let's, you know, build up that hype that he's going to be back and stuff.
So. I do see that side of it completely.
I wish Chris would have fought. If that was the case, I wish he would have fought harder to say, no, I don't want him. I don't want him revealed at all.
Because to be honest, I think it would have been fine if he hadn't been revealed. I mean, you know, he is a key part of the X-Files, but it's Mulder and Scully that, as people associate with the show, first and foremost, him coming back is enough of excitement. Even Skinner seeing, oh, Skinner's back. Brilliant. You don't
having his name in the credits.
Well, exactly. You don't necessarily need to have the Smoking Man as part of your pre-press.
Right.
But I understand why they did it, but I'm just a bit sad. But regardless of that, it was the coolest scene in the world. And I just went, oh, let's just get into this right now. How is this possible?
I don't know.
Because we're talking about, I was thinking about this the other day, we're talking about a man who, he was shot in the chest and he survived. He was
dying of cancer
and he somehow survived that. He was pushed down a flight of stairs in a wheelchair while he couldn't breathe properly when he was inhaling a cigarette through his neck.
Right.
And he survived. He then became practically a desiccated corpse living in a cave,
in
the middle of the desert, which was then bombed by a missile, and he still is alive.
Unbelievable.
Is this possible? Come on, Tanya, give me your theory. Give me your best theory.
I don't know. Maybe he used some of that alien DNA that Scully got.
Maybe.
Who knows? It's going to be him and her at the end of the world.
God. Poor Scully.
I know. That sucks.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I am fascinated to find out. what the hell happened. Even though he is alive, he did not look like he was in great shape.
No, he didn't.
Skin was kind of melted a little bit. You know, I'm sure that's not his real hair.
Have
a tracheotomy going.
It's like he's been put back together, isn't it? It's like he's just been completely just destroyed, and then someone's just pieced him back together with random bits. He reminded me of a little bit of Mason Verger in the Hannibal the film and the TV show. He's just this sort of, you know, he's just hanging in by a thread, but he's still got exudes lots of power. So the question now is, let's assume that he's been somehow magically sort of revived from what would have killed him. I don't care what anyone says.
It's a freaking missile.
It's a missile. We saw his face actually burned off.
Burned, right.
And I always remember thinking, that is Chris Carter saying, look, he's
dead.
He is dead. Okay.
And like, surprise!
Yeah.
Like, Chris, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, the question is, who put him back together? And what position does he now hold in whatever conspiracy is going on?
That is the question. I couldn't even come up with anything. I mean, I could only speculate on what was going on. I just think it's funny that at the end, he's like, oh, we have a problem. You know, the X-Files have been reopened.
Yeah.
But then he smiles. He's smiling at the end of the episode. So it's like, is he really upset that the X-Files are reopened? Or is it like, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to have some more fun, you know, before I die a third time.
You know? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, after we were talking about the Tad O'Malley thing, which is still getting my head spinning right now, I don't know what he has planned for them, but it's going to be something. I can't even think of a speculation on anything.
It's really baffling. One thing that I did notice, I don't know about you, but you briefly see that he's in some sort of very sort of plush room.
Right.
But immediately, as you see the back of his head, you see the word carpe diem.
Carpe diem on the fireplace.
On the fireplace. On the beautiful like wording. And obviously that means seize the day in Latin.
Yep.
So what does that mean? Because that's clearly a hint. You know, is it simply the fact that this is his time, that he's going to do something, or he's rising and this is his day?
I would imagine. I don't know if it was done on purpose and we're going to see something later, or just Chris messing with us. You know, I don't know. He's already messing with us, bringing this guy back to life. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just baffling. I'm excited to figure it out, you know, but it's kind of crazy.
Well, I think we can be sure that he'll be back in certainly Maestro 2. I'd imagine he's going to bookend the season, really, in the two mythology episodes.
Or at least make an appearance, because in the series, he once in a while used to show up, even during Monster of the Week episodes.
Yeah.
Like, kind of controlling the pieces on the chessboard type of thing. So I would hope that, you know, in one of the other episodes, we just see him again briefly getting an update on something. Because, like I mentioned before, even though Founder's Mutation was considered a Monster of the Week episode, it linked directly into mythology.
It did.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's another episode or two before My Struggle 2 that is Monster of the Week, but links into mythology, and we see him pop in there somewhere, you know, briefly, you know, but that he'll have something to do with it, that it has something to do with this new conspiracy and stuff.
Well, let's hope so, because that would be really exciting if we did, because we want to see as much of him as possible. So it's just thrilling to have him back. Another character I'm not quite as thrilled to have back, but I'm still thrilled, is, of course, Walter Skinner, who is he's just the dude.
he's
still
man.
The dude. He's the man.
It's interesting, you know, he's back. Walter Skinner's back. But after all these years, he's still just an assistant director at the FBI. So I think it's fascinating that he's, again, their boss. But this time around, he's kind of like, he's kind of the cool boss now.
Yeah.
Whereas before, he was like, oh, God, Skinner. you know. But now he's the cool boss because he's probably been screwed over because of helping them in the past, that he hasn't been, you know, advanced in the FBI, you know, or even running it, you know, you would think.
Yeah, he's been there 20 years now.
20-something years, and he's still an assistant director, so...
And that's why, that's one of the reasons that, you know, even though he's not worked with them for years, he's still in contact with them, and he's the one who instigates them to get into My Struggle, you know, and gets them to Tad, lets them know about Tad O'Malley. And even though we only see him fairly briefly, really, in this episode, in this first one, when we have the scene where Mulder comes back to the office, a great moment where we see the old X-Files office with the I Want to Believe poster on the floor.
And the pencil in the ceiling.
The pencils in the ceiling. Yeah, just as it was when, you know, we last saw it when Doggett was in there and he was like, where's the X-Files gone? And obviously we still don't quite know. We still don't quite get an answer where the X-Files are.
Disappeared to.
Yeah.
Because even Skinner didn't know. He thought they were still down there locked.
Yeah.
You know, since they left. So even he's not being put in the loop. So he's still being, you know, screwed. So I just think it's interesting now that since he is now aware of all of these things that are going on, he's going to start actively using his position to help Mulder in his quest. Where before he kind of reluctantly kind of did it, and then eventually he was like on board, but he was kind of like, no, you know, I can't do this. But then later he does something. It seems like now, like, he's like, all right, I'm just gonna, you're coming back and you're gonna start messing shit up, and I'm gonna totally help you do it. You know, he's like, I don't care anymore type of attitude. Yeah.
Because if you remember, in season 9, he had to pull back on that a little bit. When he was under threat from the the replicants in the FBI, him and obviously Kirsch had to kind of pull... Well, we obviously find out Kirsch was a good guy, but they had to pull back on that, Skinner, and he had to be a little bit more distant to protect himself. So he's always played the middle to an extent. He's never gone quite too far, but I think in this case, he's at the point now, I'm 65... I'm
right, exactly. That's exactly what it is. He's like, you know what? Here, have at it. What do you need? I'm done. Let's go. Let's get this done.
Exactly. And that's what he says, isn't it, to Mulder in the office? He says, you know, do something about it. When Mulder's, you know, and there's that great little tense moment with the classic. It's a little bit like forced and engineered as a piece of writing, but it's a nice moment where they're butting heads again. And Skinner's just always been the one who'll just go, well, you know, just get on with it. Do something about it. And just tells Mulder, you know, that if you want to, if you want to discover the truth about the X-Files and if it was a lie, if all this you did was a lie, figure it out. And he's the one ultimately who gives them the keys to get back into the office. So he's a very crucial part of this return, really, even though he doesn't feature a fat lot, really.
It's important because, and of course, he has to be the one that brings them back because nobody else will. It was important to have him there because otherwise it would be like, I want to believe again that they're working outside of the FBI and basically rendered useless. You know, they don't have those resources like they had when they were there. So I'm glad that he was there to be that catalyst. So like, all right, we're going to do this, we're going to do this right. So you just have to come back. And I don't care what happens to me, but I'm bringing you back.
Yeah.
It was true. Good to see, you know, he's still going to be their boss. But like I said, now he's the cool boss. You know, like they can now speak to him freely about what their intentions are. Whereas before they had to like kind of do it behind his back. So it'll be an interesting dynamic because it seems like now, of course, over the years, I don't want to say friends, but they've become more than just, you know, employee and, you know, manager and underling type of thing. You know, there's an actual kind of relationship there between the three of them that they've gone through together, you know, and a respect and, you know, an actual caring for each other, you know. That just like, you know, and I want to believe when, you know, Skinner saves Mulder, the bromance moment, you know, he like genuinely is happy to like be there to help him, you know. So I think it'll be interesting. It'll bring about a different dynamic to the three of them, because now they're all together in on this, you know what I mean? So it's fun.
Yeah.
And he got his name in the credits now. Well deserved.
Like well, he got that. I think he did get that in season 9 as well.
I think for
actually
certain episodes, was it?
Yeah, he got that.
But yeah. I think he's going to be in it.
But he got that.
The whole time.
Yeah. I think you'll see him. Because, you know, with 6 episodes, Skinner would be in at least 6 right. every season, if not more.
Quite often, 10, 12.
Yeah. He will be in all 6, I imagine. And, you know, hopefully he'll get plenty to do. But it's great to see him back. It's just great to see both of these guys back because they are part of the DNA of the show. But yeah, so that's day 4 of our season 10 coverage, talking about the 2 old school characters alongside Mulder and Scully. So we'll be back for our 5th and final day of coverage on Mulder's Trouble, and then we'll be moving into the next episode beyond that. So thanks again, Tanya, for joining me on this one.
Thanks again, as always. I appreciate it. I'm loving every moment of it.
Awesome. Well, we'll be back tomorrow, guys. Remember, until then, trust no one.